paycheck. All at once, he was in motion. Around him, smooth jets hummed. He was on a small private rocket cruiser moving leisurely across the afternoon sky between cities. "Ah," he said, sitting up in his seat and rubbing his head. Beside him, Earl Rethrick was staring keenly at him, his eyes bright. "Coming around?" "Where are we?" Jennings shook his head, trying to clear the dull ache. "Well, maybe I should ask that a different way." Already he could see that it was not late fall, it was spring. Below the cruiser, the fields were green. The last thing he remembered was stepping onto an elevator with Rethrick. And it was late fall. And in New York. "Yeah," Rethrick said. "It's almost 2 years later. You'll find a lot of things have changed. The government fell a few months ago. The new government's even stronger. The SP, security police, have almost unlimited power. They're teaching the school children to inform now, but we all saw that coming. Let's see, what else? New York's larger. I understand they've finished filling in San Francisco Bay. What I want to know is what the hell I've been doing the last 2 years?" Jennings lit a cigarette nervously, pressing the strike end. "Will you tell me that?" "Nope. Of course I won't tell you that." "Where are we going?" "Back to the New York office, where you first met me. Remember?" "You probably remember it better than I. After all, it was just a day or so ago for you." Jennings nodded. 2 years. 2 years out of his life gone forever. It didn't seem possible. He had still been considering, debating, when he stepped into the elevator. Should he change his mind? Even if we were getting that much money, and it was a lot, even for him, it didn't seem really worth it. He would always wonder what work he'd been doing. Was it legal? Was it... But that was past speculation now. Even while he was trying to make up his mind, the curtain had fallen. He looked ruefully out the window at the afternoon sky. Below, the earth was moist and alive. Spring. Spring, 2 years later. And what did he have to show for the 2 years? "Have I been paid?" he asked. He slipped his wallet out and glanced into it. "Apparently not." "Nope. You'll be paid at the office. Kelly'll pay you. The whole works at once. 50,000 credits. Jennings smiled. He felt a little better now that the sum had been spoken aloud. Maybe it wasn't so bad after all. Almost like being paid to sleep. But he was 2 years older. He had just that much less to live. It was like selling part of himself, part of his life. And life was worth plenty these days. He shrugged. Anyhow, it was in the past. "Oh, we're almost there," the older man said. The robot pilot dropped the cruiser down, sinking toward the ground. The edge of New York City became visible below them. "Well, Jennings, I may never see you again." He held out his hand. "It's been a pleasure working with you. We did work together, you know, side by side. You're one of the best mechanics I've ever seen. We were right in hiring you, even at that salary. You paid us back many times, although you don't realize it." "I'm glad you got your money's worth." "You sound angry." "No, I'm just trying to get used to the idea of being 2 years older." Rethrick laughed. "Well, you're still a very young man, and you'll feel better when she gives you your pay." They stepped out into the tiny rooftop field of the New York office building. Rethrick led him over to an elevator. As the doors slid shut, Jennings got a mental shock. This was the last thing he remembered, this elevator. After that, he had blacked out. "Kelly will be glad to see you," Rethrick said as they came out into a lighted hall. "She asks about you once in a while." "Why?" "She says you're good-looking." Rethrick pushed a code key against the door. The door responded, swinging wide. They entered the luxurious office of Rethrick Construction. Behind a long mahogany desk, a young woman was sitting, studying a report. "Kelly," Rethrick said, "look whose time finally expired." The girl looked up, smiling. "Hello, Mr. Jennings. How does it feel to be back in the world?" "Fine," Jennings walked over to her. "Rethrick says you're the paymaster." Rethrick clapped Jennings on the back. "So long, my friend. I'll go back to the plant. If you ever need a lot of money in a hurry, come round and we'll work out another contract with you." Jennings nodded. As Rethrick went back out, he sat down beside the desk, crossing his legs. Kelly slid a drawer open, moving her chair back. All right. Your time is up, so Rethrick Construction is ready to pay. Do you have your copy of the contract? Jennings took an envelope from his pocket and tossed it on the desk. There it is. Kelly removed a small cloth sack and some sheets of handwritten paper from the desk drawer. For a time she read over the sheets, her small face intent. What is it? I think you're going to be surprised, Kelly handed him his contract back. Read that over again. Why? Jennings unfastened the envelope. There's an alternate clause. If the party of the second part so desires, at any time during his time of contract to the aforesaid Rethrick Construction Company, if he so desires, instead of the monetary sum specified, he may choose instead, according to his own wish, articles or products which, in his own opinion, are of sufficient value to stand in lieu of the sum. Jennings snatched up the cloth sack, pulling it open. He poured the contents into his palm. Kelly watched it. Where's Rethrick? Jennings stood up. If he has an idea that this...
Rethrick has nothing to do with it. It was your own request. Here, look at this.
Kelly passed him the sheets of paper.
In your own hand. Read them. It was your idea, not ours. Honest.
She smiled up at him. This happens every once in a while with people we take on contract. During their time, they decide to take something else instead of money. Why, I don't know, but they come out with their minds clean, having agreed. Jennings scanned the pages. It was his own writing, there was no doubt about it. His hand shook. I can't believe it. Even if it is my own writing. He folded up the paper, his jaw set. Something was done to me while I was back there. I never would have agreed to this.
Oh, you must have had a reason.
I admit it doesn't make sense, but you don't know what factors may have persuaded you before your mind was cleaned.
You aren't the first. There have been several others before you.
Jennings stared down at what he held in his palm. From the cloth sack, he had spilled a little assortment of items. A code key, a ticket stub, a parcel receipt, a length of fine wire, half a poker chip, broken across, green strip of cloth, a bus token. This instead of 50,000 credits, he murmured? 2 years? He went out of the building, onto the busy afternoon street. He was still dazed, dazed and confused. Had he been swindled? He felt in his pocket for the little trinkets, the wire, the ticket stub, all the rest. That? For 2 years' work? But he had seen his own handwriting, the statement of waiver, the request for the substitution. Like Jack and the Beanstalk. Why? What for? What had made him do it? He turned, starting down the sidewalk. At the corner, he stopped for a surface cruiser that was turning. All right, Jennings. Get in. His head jerked up. The door of the cruiser was open. A man was kneeling, pointing a heat rifle straight at his face. A man in blue-green, the security police. Jennings got in. The door closed, magnetic locks slipping into place behind him, like a vault. The cruiser glided off down the street. Jennings sat back against the seat. Beside him, the SP man lowered his gun. On the other side, a second officer ran his hands expertly over him, searching for weapons. He brought out Jennings' wallet and the handful of trinkets, the envelope and contract. What does he have? The driver said. Wallet, money, contract with Rethrick Construction, no weapons. He gave Jennings back his things. What's this all about? Jennings said. We want to ask you a few questions, that's all. You've been working for Rethrick?
Yes.
2 years?
Almost 2 years.
At the plant?
Jennings nodded. I suppose so.
The officer leaned toward him. Where is that plant, Mr. Jennings? Where is it located?
I don't know.
The two officers looked at each other. The first one moistened his lips, his face sharp and alert. You don't know? The next question. The last. In those 2 years, what kind of work did you do? What was your job?
Mechanic.
I repaired electronic machinery.
What kind of electronic machinery?
I don't know. Jennings looked up at him. He couldn't help smiling, his lips twisting ironically.
I'm sorry, but I don't know. It's the truth.
There was silence. What do you mean you don't know? You mean you worked on machinery for 2 years without knowing what it was? Without even knowing where you were? Jennings roused himself. What is all this?
What did you pick me up for? I haven't done anything. I've been...
We know. We're not arresting you. We only want to get information for our records about Rethrick Construction. You've been working for them in their plant in an important capacity. You're an electronic mechanic?
Yes.
You repair high-quality computers and allied equipment?
The officer consulted his notebook.
You're considered one of the best in the country, according to this.
Jennings said nothing.
Tell us the two things we want to know, and you'll be released at once. Where's Rethrick's plant? What kind of work are they doing? You serviced their machines for them, didn't you? Isn't that right? For 2 years?
I don't know. I suppose so.
I don't have any idea what I did during those 2 years. You can believe me or not.
Jennings stared wearily down at the floor.
What'll we do? The driver said finally. We have no instructions past this.
Take him to the station. We can't do any more questioning here. Beyond the cruiser, men and women hurried along the sidewalk. The streets were choked with cruisers, workers going to their homes in the country.
Jennings, why don't you answer us? What's the matter with you? There's no reason why you can't tell us a couple of simple things like that. Don't you want to cooperate with your government? Why should you conceal information from us?
I'd tell you if I knew.
The officer grunted. No one spoke. Presently, the cruiser drew up before a great stone building. The driver turned the motor off, removing the control cap and putting it in his pocket. He touched the door with a code key, releasing the magnetic lock.
What should we do, take him in?
Actually, we don't...
Wait.
The driver stepped out. The other two went with him, closing and locking the doors behind them. They stood on the pavement before the security station, talking. Jennings sat silently, staring down at the floor. The SP wanted to know about Rethrick Construction.
Well, there was nothing he could tell them. They had come to the wrong person. But how could he prove that? The whole thing was impossible. 2 years wiped clean from his mind. Who would believe him?
It seemed unbelievable to him, too.
His mind wandered, back to when he had first read the ad. It had hit home, hit him direct. Mechanic wanted. And a general outline of the work, vague, indirect, but enough to tell him that it was right up his line. And the pay. Interviews at the office, tests, forms. And then the gradual realization that Rethrick Construction was finding all about him, while he knew nothing about them.
What kind of work did they do?
Construction, but what kind? What sort of machines did they have?
50,000 credits for 2 years. And he'd come out with his mind washed clean. 2 years, and he remembered nothing. It took him a long time to agree to that part of the contract, but he had agreed. Jennings looked out the window. The three officers were still talking on the sidewalk, trying to decide what to do with him. He was in a tough spot. They wanted information he couldn't give, information he didn't know.
But how could he prove it? How could he prove that he had worked 2 years and come out knowing no more than when he'd gone in?
The SP would work him over. It would be a long time before they'd believe him. And by that time... He glanced around quickly. Was there any escape? In a second, they'd be back. He touched the door. Locked. The triple ring magnetic locks. He had worked on magnetic locks many times. He'd even designed part of a trigger core. There was no way to open the doors without the right code key. No way... Unless, by some chance, he could short out the lock. But with what?
He felt in his pockets.
What could he use? If he could short the locks, blow them out, there was a faint chance.
Outside, men and women were swarming by on their way home from work. It was past 5. The great office buildings were shutting down. The streets were alive with traffic.
If he once got out, they wouldn't dare fire. If he could get out.
The three officers separated. One went up the steps into the station building. In a second, the others would re-enter the cruiser. Jennings dug into his pocket, bringing out the code key, the ticket stub, the wire.
The wire! Thin wire. Thin as a human hair. Was it insulated?
He unwound it quickly.
No.
He knelt down, running his fingers expertly across the surface of the door. At the edge of the lock was a thin line. A groove between the lock and the door. He brought the end of the wire up to it, delicately maneuvering the wire into the almost invisible space. The wire disappeared an inch or so. Sweat rolled down Jennings' forehead.
He moved the wire a fraction of an inch, twisting it. He held his breath. The relay should be...
A flash.
Half-blinded, he threw his weight against the door. The door fell open, the lock fused and smoking. Jennings tumbled into the street and leaped to his feet. Cruisers were all around him, honking and sweeping past. He ducked behind a lumbering truck, entering the middle lane of traffic. On the sidewalk, he caught a momentary glimpse of the SP men starting after him. A bus came along, swaying from side to side, loaded with shoppers and workers. Jennings caught hold of the back rail, pulling himself up onto the platform. Astonished faces loomed up, pale moons thrust suddenly at him. The robot conductor was coming toward him, whirring angrily.
"Sir," the conductor began. The bus was slowing down. "Sir, it is not allowed."
"It's all right," Jennings said. He was filled all at once with a strange elation. A moment ago, he had been trapped with no way to escape. 2 years of his life had been lost for nothing. The security police had arrested him, demanding information he couldn't give. A hopeless situation. But now, things were beginning to click in his mind. He reached into his pocket and brought out the bus token. He put it calmly into the conductor's coin slot. "Okay," he said. Under his feet, the bus wavered, the driver hesitating. Then the bus resumed pace, going on. The conductor turned away, its whirs subsiding. Everything was all right. Jennings smiled. He eased past the standing people, looking for a seat, some place to sit down where he could think. He had plenty to think about. His mind was racing. The bus moved on, flowing with the restless stream of urban traffic. Jennings only half saw the people sitting around him. There was no doubt of it. He had not been swindled. It was on the level. The decision had actually been his. Amazingly, after 2 years of work, he had preferred a handful of trinkets instead of 50,000 credits. But more amazingly, the handful of trinkets were turning out to be worth more than the money. With a piece of wire and a bus token, he had escaped from the security police. That was worth plenty. Money would have been useless to him once he had disappeared inside the Great Stone Station. Even 50,000 credits wouldn't have helped him. And there were 5 trinkets left. He felt around in his pocket. 5 more things. He had used 2. The others, what were they for? Something as important? But the big puzzle, how had he, his earlier self, known that a piece of wire and a bus token would save his life? He had known, all right. Known in advance, but how? And the other 5? Probably they were just as precious, or would be. The he of those 2 years he had known things that he did not know now, things that had been washed away when the company cleaned his mind, like an adding machine which had been cleared. Everything was slate clean. What he had known was gone now. Gone except for 7 trinkets, 5 of which were still in his pocket. But the real problem right now was not a problem of speculation. It was very concrete. The security police were looking for him. They had his name and description. There was no use thinking of going to his apartment, if he even still had an apartment. But where, then? Hotels? The SP combed them daily. Friends? That would mean putting them in jeopardy, along with him. It was only a question of time before the SP found him, walking along the street, eating at a restaurant, in a show, sleeping in some rooming house. The SP were everywhere. Everywhere? Not quite. When an individual person was defenseless, a business was not. The big economic forces had managed to remain free, although virtually everything else had been absorbed by the government. Laws that had been eased away from the private person still protected property and industry. The SP could pick up any given person, but they could not enter and seize a company, a business. That had been clearly established in the middle of the 20th century. Business, industry, corporations were safe from the security police. Due process was required. Rethrick Construction was a target of SP interest, but they could do nothing until some statute was violated. If he could get back to the company, get inside its doors, he would be safe. Jennings smiled grimly. The modern church. Sanctuary. It was the government against the corporation, rather than the state against the church.
The new Notre Dame of the world, where the law could not follow.
Would Rethrick take him back?
Yes, on the old basis. He'd already said so. Another 2 years sliced from him and then back onto the streets? Would that help him? He felt suddenly in his pocket. And there were the remaining trinkets. Surely he had intended them to be used? No, he could not go back to Rethrick and work another contract time. Something else was indicated, something more permanent. Jennings pondered. Rethrick Construction. What did it construct? What had he known, found out during those 2 years? And why were the SP so interested? He brought out the five objects and studied them. The green strip of cloth, the code key, the ticket stub, the parcel receipt, the half poker chip. Strange that little things like that could be important. And Rethrick Construction was involved. There was no doubt. The answer, all the answers, lay at Rethrick. But where was Rethrick? He had no idea where the plant was, no idea at all. He knew where the office was, the big, luxurious room with the young woman and her desk. But that was not Rethrick Construction. Did anyone know beside Rethrick? Kelly didn't know. Did the SP know? It was out of town, that was certain. He had gone there by rocket. It was probably in the United States. Maybe in the farmlands, the country, between cities. What a hell of a situation. Any moment the SP might pick him up. The next time he might not get away. His only chance, his own real chance for safety, lay in reaching Rethrick, and his only chance to find out the things he had to know. The plant, a place where he had been, but which he could not recall. He looked down at the five trinkets. Would any of them help? A burst of despair swept through him. Maybe it was just coincidence, the wire and the token. Maybe. He examined the parcel receipt, turning it over and holding it up to the light. Suddenly his stomach muscles knotted. His pulse changed. He'd been right. No, it was not a coincidence, the wire and the token. The parcel receipt was dated 2 days hence. The parcel, whatever it might be, had not even been deposited yet. Not for 48 more hours. He looked at the other things, the ticket stub. What good was a ticket stub? It was creased and bent, folded over again and again. He couldn't go any place with that. The stub didn't take you anywhere. It only told you where you had been. Where you had been! He bent down, peering at it, smoothing the creases. The printing had been torn through the middle. Only part of each word could be made out. Portola T. Stewart's V. I'll... He smiled. That was it. Where he had been. He could fill in the missing letters. It was enough. There was no doubt. He had foreseen this too. Three of the seven trinkets used, four left. Stewartsville, Iowa. Was there such a place? He looked out the window of the bus. The intercity rocket station was only a block or so away. He could be there in a second. A quick sprint from the bus, hoping the police wouldn't be there to stop him. But somehow he knew they wouldn't. Not with the other four things in his pocket. And once he was on the rocket, he would be safe. Intercity was big. Big enough to keep free the SP. Jennings put the remaining trinkets back into his pocket and stood up, pulling the bell cord. A moment later, he stepped gingerly onto the sidewalk. The rocket led him off at the edge of town, a tiny brown field. A few disinterested porters moved about, stacking luggage, resting from the heat of the sun. Jennings crossed the field to the waiting room, studying the people around him. Ordinary people, workmen, businessmen, housewives. Stewartsville was a small Middle Western town, truck drivers, high school kids. He went through the waiting room out into the street. So this was where Rethrick's plant was located. Perhaps, if he had used the stub correctly. Anyhow, something was here, or he wouldn't have included the stub with the other trinkets. Stewartsville, Iowa. A faint plan was beginning to form in the back of his mind, still vague and nebulous. He began to walk, his hands in his pockets, looking around him. A newspaper office, lunch counters, hotels, pool rooms, a barber shop, a television repair shop. a rocket sales store with huge showrooms of gleaming rockets, family size. And at the end of the block, the Portola Theater. The town thinned out, farms, fields, miles of green country. In the sky above, a few transport rockets lumbered, carrying farm supplies and equipment back and forth. A small, unimportant town, just right for Rethrick construction. The plant would be lost here, away from the city, away from the SP. Jennings walked back. He entered a lunchroom, Bob's place. A young man with glasses came over as he sat down at the counter, wiping his hands on his white apron. "Coffee," Jennings said. "Coffee?" The man brought a cup. There were only a few people in the lunchroom. A couple of flies buzzed against the window. Outside in the street, shoppers and farmers moved leisurely by. "Say," Jennings said, stirring his coffee, "where can a man get work around here, do you know?"
"Oh, what kind of work?"
The young man came back, leaning against the counter. "Electrical wiring. I'm an electrician. Television, rockets, computers, that sort of stuff."
"Oh, why don't you try the big industrial areas? Detroit, Chicago, New York."
Jennings shook his head. "Can't stand the big cities. Never liked cities." The young man laughed.
"A lot of people here be glad to work in Detroit. You're an electrician?"
"Are there any plants around here? Any repair shops or plants?"
"None that I know of."
The young man went off to wait on some men that had come in. Jennings sipped his coffee. Had he made a mistake? Maybe he should go back and forget about Stewartsville, Iowa. Maybe he'd made the wrong inference from the ticket stub. But the ticket meant something, unless he was completely wrong about everything. It was a little late to decide that, though. The young man came back. "Is there any kind of work I can get here?" Jennings said, "just to tide me over."
"Oh, there's always farm work."
"How about the retail repair shops, garages, TV?"
"There's a TV repair shop down the street. Maybe you could get something there."
"You could try.
Farm work pays good. They can't get many men anymore. Most men in the military. You want to pitch hay?"
Jennings laughed. He paid for his coffee. "Not very much, thanks."
"Once in a while, some of the men go up the road and work. There's some sort of government station."
Jennings nodded. He pushed the screen door open, stepping outside onto the hot sidewalk. He walked aimlessly for a time, deep in thought, turning his nebulous plan over and over. It was a good plan. It would solve everything, all his problems at once. But right now it hinged on one thing, finding Rethrick Construction. And he had only one clue, if it really was a clue. The ticket stub folded and creased in his pocket. And a faith that he had known what he was doing. A government station. Jennings paused, looking around him. Across the street was a taxi stand, a couple of cabbies sitting in their cabs, smoking and reading the newspaper. It was worth a try, at least. There wasn't much else to do. Rethrick would be something else on the surface. If it posed as a government project, no one would ask any questions. They were all too accustomed to government projects working without explanation, in secrecy. He went over to the first cab. "Mister," he said, "can you tell me something?" The cabbie looked up.
"What do you want?"
"They tell me there's work to be had out of the government station. Is that right?" The cabbie studied him and nodded. "What kind of work is it?"
"I don't know." "Where do they do the hiring?"
"I don't know." The cabbie lifted his paper. "Thanks." Jennings turned away.
They don't do any hiring. Maybe once in a long while. They don't take many on. You better go someplace else if you're looking for work."
"All right." The other cabbie leaned out of his cab.
"They only use a few day laborers, buddy, that's all. And they're very choosy. They don't hardly let anybody in. Some kind of war work."
Jennings pricked up his ears.
"Secret?" "Oh, they come into town and pick up a load of construction workers, maybe a truck full, that's all. They're real careful who they pick."
Jennings walked back toward the cabbie.
"That right?" "It's a big place, steel wall, charged, guards. Work going on day and night, but nobody gets in. Set up on top of a hill, out the old Henderson Road, about 2 miles and a half.
The cabbie poked at his shoulder.
"You can't get in unless you're identified. They identify their laborers after they pick them out, you know."
Jennings stared at him. The cabbie was tracing a line on his shoulder. Suddenly, Jennings understood. A flood of relief rushed over him.
Sure, he said. I understand what you mean. At least I think I do. He reached into his pocket, bringing out the four trinkets. Carefully, he unfolded the strip of green cloth, holding it up. Like this? The cabbies stared at the cloth. That's right, one of them said slowly, staring at the cloth. Where'd you get it? Jennings laughed. A friend. He put the cloth back in his pocket. A friend gave it to me. He went off toward the intercity field. He had plenty to do now that the first step was over. Rethrick was here, all right, and apparently the trinkets were going to see him through. One for every crisis. A pocket full of miracles from someone who knew the future. But the next step couldn't be done alone. He needed help. Somebody else was needed for this part. But who? He pondered, entering the intercity waiting room. There was only one person he could possibly go to. It was a long chance, but he had to take it. He couldn't work alone here on out. If the Rethrick plant was here, then Kelly would be too. The street was dark. At the corner, a lamppost cast a fitful beam. A few cruisers moved by. From the apartment building entrance, a slim shape came, a young woman in a coat, a purse in her hand. Jennings watched as she passed under the street lamp. Kelly McVane was going someplace, probably to a party. Smartly dressed, high heels tap-tapping on the pavement, a little coat and hat. He stepped out behind her. Kelly! She turned quickly, her mouth open.
Oh!
Jennings took her arm. Don't worry, it's just me. Where are you going all dressed up?
No place, she blinked. My golly, you scared me. What is it? What's going on?
Nothing. Can you spare a few minutes? I want to talk to you. Kelly nodded.
I guess so.
She looked around.
Where'll we go?
Where's a place we can talk? I don't want anyone to overhear us.
Can't we just walk along?
No, the police.
The police?
They're looking for me.
For you? But why?
Let's not stand here, Jennings said grimly. Where can we go? Kelly hesitated.
We can go up to my apartment. No one's there.
They went up the elevator. Kelly unlocked the door, pressing the code key against it. The door swung open and they went inside, the heater and lights coming on automatically at her step. She closed the door and took off her coat. I won't stay long, Jennings said.
That's all right. I'll fix you a drink.
She went into the kitchen. Jennings sat down on the couch, looking around at the neat little apartment. Presently, the girl came back. She sat down beside him, and Jennings took his drink. Scotch and water, cold. Thanks. Kelly smiled.
Not at all.
The two of them sat silently for a time.
Well,
she said at last,
what is this all about? Why are the police looking for you?
They want to find out about Rethrick Construction. I'm only a pawn in this. They think I know something because I worked 2 years at Rethrick's plant.
But you don't.
I can't prove that. Kelly reached out, touching Jennings' head just above his ear.
Feel there, that spot.
Jennings reached up. Above his ear, under the hair, was a tiny, hard spot. What is it?
They burned through the skull there, cut a tiny wedge from the brain, all your memories of the 2 years. They located them and burned them out. The SP couldn't possibly make you remember. It's gone. You don't have it.
By the time they realize that, there won't be much left of me. Kelly said nothing. You can see the spot I'm in. It would be better for me if I did remember. Then I could tell them and they'd...
And destroy Rethrick?
Jennings shrugged. Why not? Rethrick means nothing to me. I don't even know what they're doing. And why are the police so interested? From the very start, all the secrecy, cleaning my mind.
There's reason. Good reason.
Do you know why?
No.
Kelly shook her head.
But I'm sure there's a reason. If the SP are interested, there's reason.
She set down her drink, turning toward him.
I hate the police. We all do, every one of us. They're after us all the time. I don't know anything about Rethrick. If I did, my life wouldn't be safe. There's not much standing between Rethrick and them. A few laws, a handful of laws, nothing more.
I have the feeling Rethrick is a great deal more than just another construction company the SP wants to control.
I suppose it is. I really don't know. I'm just a receptionist. I've never been to the plant. I don't even know where it is.
But you wouldn't want anything to happen to it?
Of course not. They're fighting the police. Anyone that's fighting the police is on our side.
Really? I've heard that kind of logic before. Anyone fighting communism was automatically good a few decades ago. Well, time will tell. As far as I'm concerned, I'm an individual caught between two ruthless forces, government and business. The government has men and wealth. Retro Construction has its technocracy. What they've done with it, I don't know. I did a few weeks ago. All I have now is a faint glimmer, a few references, a theory. Kelly glanced at him.
A theory?
And my pocket full of trinkets. 7. 3 or 4 now. I've used some. They're the basis of my theory. If Rethrick is doing what I think it's doing, I can understand the SP's interest. As a matter of fact, I'm beginning to share their interest.
What is Rethrick doing?
It's developed a time scoop.
What?
A time scoop. It's been theoretically possible for several years. But it's illegal to experiment with time scoops and mirrors. It's a felony. And if you're caught, all your equipment and data become the property of the government.
Jennings smiled crookedly. No wonder the government's interested. If they can catch Rethrick with the goods...
A time scoop? It's hard to believe.
Don't you think I'm right?
I don't know. Perhaps. Your trinkets. You're not the first to come out with a little cloth sack of odds and ends. You've used some? How?
First the wire and the bus token. Getting away from the police. Seems funny, but if I hadn't had them, I'd be there yet. A piece of wire and a 10-cent token. But I don't usually carry such things. That's the point.
Time travel.
No, not time travel. Burkowski demonstrated that time travel is impossible. This is a time scoop. A mirror to see and a scoop to pick up things. These trinkets, at least one of them, is from the future. Scooped up. Brought back.
How do you know?
It's dated. The others perhaps not. Things like tokens and wire belong to classes of things. Any one token is as good as another. There, he must have used a mirror.
He?
When I was working with Rethrick, I must have used the mirror. I looked into my own future. If I was repairing their equipment, I could hardly keep from it.
I must have looked ahead, seen what was coming.
The SP picking me up. I must have seen that and seen what a piece of thin wire and a bus token would do. If I had them with me at the exact moment, Kelly considered.
Well, what do you want me for?
I'm not sure now. Do you really look on Rethrick as a benevolent institution waging war against the police? A sort of Roland at Roncevi?
What does it matter how I feel about the company?
It matters a lot. Jennings finished his drink, pushing the glass aside. It matters a lot because I want you to help me. I'm going to blackmail Rethrick Construction.
Kelly stared at him. It's my one chance to stay alive. I've got to get a hold over Rethrick. A big hold. Enough of a hold so that they'll let me in on my own terms. There's no other place I can go. Sooner or later, the police are going to pick me up. If I'm not inside the plant, and soon...
Help you blackmail the company?
Destroy Rethrick?
No, not destroy. I don't want to destroy it. My life depends on the company. My life depends on Rethrick being strong enough to defy the SP. But if I'm on the outside of it, it doesn't much matter how strong Rethrick is. Do you see?
I want to get in.
I want to get inside before it's too late. And I want in on my own terms. Not as a 2-year worker who gets pushed out again afterward.
For the police to pick up.
Jennings nodded. Exactly.
How are you going to blackmail the company?
I'm going to enter the plant and carry out enough material to prove Rethrick is operating a time scoop. Kelly laughed.
Enter the plant? Let's see you find the plant. The SP have been looking for it for years.
I've already found it. Jennings leaned back, lighting a cigarette. I've located it with my trinkets. And I have 4 left. Enough to get me inside, I think. And to get me what I want. I'll be able to carry out enough papers and photographs to hang Rethrick. But I don't want to hang Rethrick. I only want a bargain. That's where you come in.
I?
You can be trusted not to go to the police. I need someone I can turn the material over to. I don't dare keep it myself. As soon as I have it, I must turn it over to someone else. Someone will hide it where I won't be able to find it.
Why?
Because, Jennings said calmly, any minute the SP may pick me up. I have no love for Rethrick, but I don't want to scuttle it. That's why you got to help me. I'm going to turn the information over to you to hold while I bargain with Rethrick.
Otherwise, I'll have to hold it myself. And if I have it on me...
He glanced at her. Kelly was staring at the floor, her face tense, set.
Well, what do you say? Will you help me? Or shall I take the chance the SP won't pick me up with the material? Data enough to destroy Rethrick.
Well, which will it be?
Do you want to see Rethrick destroyed? What's your answer?